My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is your host, Patricia, and today I am sitting down with Dr. Mindy Peltz. Dr. Mindy Peltz is over the Reset Experience and has a clinic in San Jose, California. Welcome, Dr. Mindy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So really quickly for everyone listening, I'm going to read a bio on Dr. Mindy, but first I'm going to do a roadmap of today's podcast. So those of you listening or watching on the vodcast, you guys can refer back to it or skip ahead as your needs may determine. So the first thing we're going to do is cover the academic background and brief professional life following academia for Dr. Mindy. And then we'll launch straight into Dr. Mindy's books, The Reset Factor and Reset Factor Kitchen. Then we'll climb through Dr. Mindy's clinic, her physical office and services, and then we will get into her online community, which kind of runs in tandem and all throughout the I Know Her clinic as well. Then we'll get into the goals that Dr. Mindy has for both herself and her business over the next 3 years. And we will end up everything with advice that Dr. Mindy has for those who are looking to kind of contact her for her knowledge or get involved. And also those who are looking at maybe mirroring some of what she's done with her career thus far. So a quick bio on Dr. Mindy before I start peppering her with questions. Dr. Mindy Peltz, DC, is crazy passionate about helping families stay healthy. For the past 22 years, she has been in the health trenches with busy, overscheduled families. She has built one of the largest holistic health clinics in Silicon Valley with patients coming to her from all over the world for her customized ketobiotic, fasting, detox, and nutritional approaches. Her focus is to give families simple, science-based, effective health tools that have all members of the family thriving. Her best-selling book, The Reset Factor, was released in 2015, giving people all over the world access to a clear step-by-step path to creating a healthy, vibrant, energy-filled life free from disease and suffering. The launch of her book ignited a Resetter Tribe, an online group of like-minded people, all supporting each other, exchanging healthy ideas, and cheering each other on to better health. Once a month, Dr. Mindy leads her Resetter Tribe through a free fast training week where all community members practice different styles of fasting together. Currently, Dr. Mindy's passion is educating women on how to do keto, fasting, and diet variation to impact their hormonal health. You can find much of her information laid out in a very simple and easy to approach motivating manner on her YouTube channel, which you can locate the YouTube channel by searching Dr. Mindy Peltz, P-E-L-Z, on YouTube. So Dr. Mindy, before we get into some of the more philosophical structure of your company, which I hope we get to today, will you walk us through your academic background and professional life following that?
Yeah, so my background is I was a competitive, a collegiate tennis player. So I was immersed in the sports world. And I actually went to undergraduate school thinking I was going to be like a journalist or something along those lines. And I, in my the process of being in school, being a competitive athlete, I started to get some really big health challenges. And so it quickly changed my focus from journalism into studying the human body. In fact, I remember the first day I sat in an anatomy class, I was like, oh my God, this I have to understand this more. And here I am, you know, 30 years later, obsessed with the human body.
Yeah.
But it led me into understanding exercise physiology was what my studies were. And when I came out of school, I basically said, okay, what am I going to do with that? And I started doing personal training. And I found pretty quickly with personal training, it just wasn't rewarding. It wasn't where I didn't feel fulfilled. I actually worked in a clinic on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. And I was training, helping women lose weight. And literally as we were training them, they were discussing the fundraisers they were going to, and they would come and train with us, and then they would go shopping afterwards. And it was like, and they're obsessed on fitting into their skinny jeans. And I'm like, oh, this is not fulfilling. Yeah. I love health. I love the human body, but I want to do more. And so I had been under chiropractic care my whole life. And I meandered one day into my chiropractor's office, and he had a new young grad in there. And the guy looked at me and he said, "Why aren't you a chiropractor? You should go. You've been under Dr. Aker's care since you were five. Why aren't you a chiropractor?" And you know, we've all had those moments where somebody says something to you and it hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're like, "Oh my God, why am I not doing that?" Yeah. So that launched me to chiropractic school. I love, just couldn't get enough information there. Just, I have an obsession with the ability of the body to heal itself. We live in a miracle. There's so much our human body can do. And so that really launched my career into the whole wellness world.
So where did you go to school? Did you immediately kind of have an aha moment and then start your certification and doctor training? How did that all work?
Yeah, my undergraduate work was at University of Kansas, and I grew up in LA. So I could not, after 4 years in Kansas, I was pretty darn excited to go back to LA.
Yeah.
Big cultural difference. Not that there's anything wrong with Kansas. I was ready to go back to the big city. And when I was pretty about 2 years after I was at Kansas, I came up here to the Bay Area to go to Palmer College of Chiropractic West. So that was where I studied. And then from there, I mean, my educational background from there, I have multiple seminars. I mean, again, like I said, from there, I've just had this an unquenchable thirst for understanding the human body.
Yeah. And I see that you've gone through and doing some research. I see that you've kind of had an interest in pediatrics as well, like starting mm-hmm. for not just the human experience, but the lifespan experience, if you will, you know, yeah. and treating and health in views of a lifespan, which I think is interesting. Did you immediately launch your clinic when you came out of schooling, or did you wait and practice out and about?
Yeah, so this is an interesting story as well. When I graduated, you know, and like many professional programs, just because you get the doctorate degree or you get the master's or you get the PhD or MD, whatever it is, doesn't mean that you're going to succeed in business. And so when I graduated, I was looking for, I really believe in mentorship. And I was looking for a mentor, and I I was looking for a female mentor. And in those years, chiropractic was a very male dominated profession. Mm-hmm. And so a friend of mine said, "Hey, you should go check out my chiropractor. I think she's looking to sell her practice." And so I went in there and I basically said, "I want to learn from a woman. You have an amazing practice here. I will do anything you ask me to do." And I worked free for her for a year, 40 wow. hours a week, totally free for a year.
Lucky her.
Yeah. Lucky her is right. But it actually ended up being lucky me, because mm-hmm. she turned around, sold the clinic to me. She actually had this part of the story is really interesting. She had a goal that she, on her 40th birthday, she wanted to retire. And so she got so burnt out, she didn't really want to do the chiropractic part anymore. So I was adjusting people and she was running the front desk.
Excellent.
And yeah. on my 40th birthday, my license came in the mail. And she grabbed her keys and like walked out the door. It was like, it was like, this is my Excellent. 40th birthday. I was retiring this day. Your license came this way. And within 2 weeks later, she sold the business to me. And she was such an amazing person that she had me pay this business off in like 2 to 3 years. And I paid it off. Well, the goal was to pay it off in 3 years. I paid it off in 2.5 years. And Wow. She, about 3 years after I paid it off, I randomly got a 7,520 cents check in the mail from her. This is how much integrity this woman had. She was going back through her taxes and found out that I had overpaid her by that much and sent me a check.
Wow.
Who does that, right? I mean, like, no. Incredible. Yeah. She had such incredible integrity.
So you took over a business that had already been filled with integrity. I imagine the clientele built into that, therefore, was also, you know, people who were really looking to heal. And you find those communities, you know, a system is usually healthy inside and out. You don't get a polished outside with something working on the back end.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a dreamy beginning. You know,
it's very dreamy.
Some of the horror stories can exist.
No, it was like the universe was looking out for me and just said, here, you connect with this one. And you're right. I mean, her heart space, her integrity, she taught me a lot about building a business from the inside out, that your business is a direct reflection of you. So if you are off, if you're struggling personally, that your business will start to struggle. And so she always advised me to go back and look at myself and what I can do to improve me to improve my business.
Absolutely. What year did you officially take over the business, that 40th birthday?
That would have been about 1996.
And then from there, what was your initial, let's take the first decade. So into 2006, did you maintain, you paid off the business loan quickly for all intents and purposes in most industries, 2 to 3 years is fast.
But $250,000 loan.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that paid it fast.
Unbelievably fast. So within the first decade, did you maintain, and I'm interested, we're going to climb into as we get into your books and things like that. So I don't want to give too much away, but you have a very specific emphasis on like the gut microbiome and heavy metal detoxification and things like that, that you're under right now, that you are very much so, you know, a champion of these conversations. Did that evolve slowly, or was that always kind of one of your areas of focus?
Yeah, you know, the story, the way that it unfolded for me is when I stepped into her practice, I just brought a lot of passion and love, and the practice grew. And in those days, you would give someone chiropractic care, and honestly, they would just heal. Like there was you would adjust somebody, and if it didn't matter what they had, migraines, neck pain, low back, like they would heal, and it was beautiful. Yeah. And it was a real win-win. And then about 10 years into practice, I just started to notice that people weren't healing at the same rate. And I kind of like was start to scratch my head. And I was at a seminar one day, and the guy speaking said to me, you know, you have to realize that the patient you're dealing with today is a different patient than you dealt with 10 years ago. And that really stuck with me. And I went and I looked at our environment. And this was about the time that glyphosate was being introduced into our food. And it was also about the time books like The Wheat Belly came out, where all of a sudden we are starting to see that gluten intolerances were not just for people who had celiacs. Mm-hmm. That there was a lot of research now showing that the way gluten was being developed and harvested, that was a GMO version. It had something called BT toxin in it that destroyed the gut. So all these patients that were not getting well, that all of a sudden mysteriously were not getting well, when I went in and took them off gluten and I started to repair their gut, they got well. And it was like, oh my God, there's something here. And that really launched my nutrition practice. And, you know, since that time, I've been in practice now 23 years. So that was 13 years ago. We have more toxins in our environment. We have more toxins in our food. And once I started to look at, okay, what is the human body going through today? Then that's where I morphed my whole business model shifted, because I had to meet the demands of what the today body was dealing with.
Right. I hadn't even thought of that, but yeah, I mean, the being in, you know, in the healing industry, to be able to look at the changing landscape of health and sickness and shifting your focus accordingly is necessary. I think if you're going to provide awesome care, let's drop straight into, I want to get into the reset factor. And for those of you watching this on our vodcast, this is the book, and I've read it and I've marked it up, and I really like it. And I felt like I was already educated into a lot of your educational techniques because I've been watching your YouTube for about a year, and not so much. It's, you know, I've learned a ton new in the book, so I encourage everyone to go out and get it. But let's start straight off with the reset factor. You published it in 2015, and can you talk about like the main goal of what it was supposed to do and what it is?
Yeah. So once I started to see a formula working in my office, about that time, I also had a patient that really dramatically shifted the way I do everything. And all my social media on my books launched from this interaction with this patient. And what her story is that at 40 years old, she was given a breast cancer diagnosis, and she had no symptoms. She had no indication that it was going. She just went in for a routine mammogram, and boom, came out with a breast cancer diagnosis. And she ended up, they gave her 3 months to live, and she turned it into 11 years. And in that process, I met her at 3 months after her diagnosis. And one of the things that I asked her was, what do you know about food? And she looked at me and she said, what do you mean? What does food have to do with my cancer? Which is like really crazy to think about now. But I said, you know, there's toxins in your food. And she looked at me and she said, are you telling me that if they put some food in a market called Safeway, that it is not, that food is not safe? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yep, that's what I'm telling you. So as I saw her go through the suffering and the struggles and all of that to put her health back together again, and then to eventually lose her life, there was just a trigger in me that was like, I can't keep quiet anymore. I got to get out there. I got to do something. So the reset factor is actually dedicated to her, because she was the catalyst that made me go, it's not okay to just stay in my clinic. I need to get out beyond my clinic. I need to start to educate people. So we put the Reset Factor book out, and people, I think it was really beautiful because people started to see that, you know, they could understand their body more. They could, were given a really concrete approach to not building disease. And from that, people wanted to know more, and it just launched a whole movement from there.
Yeah. And it gets into, it's interesting because I think that it's a tenuous line for education. You know, you've got everyone on different levels with what they've played around with, what they've read, who they've read it from, you know, from the kind of esoteric scientific studies that are coming out of the universities into these tangible blatant lies on social media, and then, you know, the truth all in between. And so, mm-hmm. and the application of the truth. And I think that the Reset Factor does a really good job of backing it up, citing the studies, but not kind of losing the audience, or at least my naive, you know, mind into some of that. And so I really appreciate that. And I like how it comes full circle. You know, you get into every specific organ without taking me through an anatomy lesson, which is nice, but still educating.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. So after you set the Reset Factor, you have the Reset Factor Kitchen, and this is a cookbook?
Yeah. So from that, people said, we need more recipes. And, you know, I'm willing to stand up and be an expert in the things I feel like I'm an expert in, and pass over the things I'm not an expert in into other people. And so I had a friend who is a chef, and she, at the same time as the Reset Factor came out, was, had just gotten a diagnosis with her daughter of type 1 diabetes. Mm. And she was starting to understand that the way she had raised her children could have been contributing to the type 1 diabetes, and trying to understand what it meant to raise a child with type 1 diabetes. So she peppered my brain constantly about it. And eventually we just came together, and I said, why don't we, and it was really cool because I said, why don't we take your culinary specialty and let's make some recipes, and then and let's test it on your daughter's blood sugar. We could actually see what was happening with her blood sugar. So all those recipes in there were tested on a Dexcom so we could see what happened with blood sugar.
That's exciting. Yeah, I look forward to picking it up. So it's a bunch of recipes and kind of explanation behind it around what's happening with blood sugar.
Yeah.
That's really, it sounds like a companion guide that was necessary from the research.
Exactly. And now I need to write another book, so I can put some keto and fasting and where we've evolved beyond that. That's on my 2020 list.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that gets into our goals, which we're going to get into next. But first, I want to delineate, not to completely separate, but you have a clinic in Silicon Valley. And I want to just get into, we talked about it was developed in 1996 or thereabouts, and where it was launched. You took it over from that wonderful original founder. And I'm wondering, when you see clients now, do they integrate straight into, because you have this online presence now in this Resetter Tribe, I think that they're called. But when people come to your clinic, you have a lot of different tools and diagnostic things that you get into in some of your YouTube, you know, tutorials about, or your YouTube posts about those types of things. But do you still have walk-in traffic? Can people still find you in Northern California? Can you kind of explain some of that?
Yeah, so I basically have two separate practices now. I have what I call my brick and mortar, which is my in-office practice, and that has morphed and changed quite a bit. In fact, we're about to move to a bigger location, and I'm bringing in some biohacking tools like hyperbaric oxygen and Juve lights, and we can talk about that in a moment. And then I have a whole virtual practice where I coach people around the world one-on-one. I have my Reset Academy, where people who watch my videos and they want to have a smaller, more intimate environment. In fact, I just had a Reset Academy call prior to this. They hop on and we can talk about different things around their health that they want. I have videos I've done over there. So I really have like two separate businesses. To answer your question about the brick and mortar, I'm referral only. People find me from YouTube. They find me by word of mouth. So when they come in, the question, there's like a little bit of a triage of like, what are you looking for? What are we trying to do with your health? And based off of what their desires are, we can point them in the direction. Like I had a woman last week that came in, and it was like, she had definite chiropractic issue that we're going to work on, and hormones. So, okay, now let's dive into what that looks like to balance those hormones.
Right. So it's kind of individualized.
It's totally customized to what their needs are and what they're trying to do with their health.
I wonder, because you do have such an online following, I myself am in San Diego, and when I started learning about you was actually overseas, but I'm wondering, is it possible for someone to become a client of yours online and then have you communicate with someone who is, you know, in their region, like to work in tandem?
Absolutely. I mean, my big mission is that the body heals itself. So if you're in a health crisis and you're not healing, we've got to identify what's interfering with that healing. So it's sometimes we can identify that over a Zoom call like this. Sometimes we can identify that with you in my clinic. Sometimes we need to just sit down, have a consultation, and then get you to somebody else that's local to you. So I'm of an abundance mindset. I'm of a, let's all, you know, if I've got good people I can send people to, I'm super happy to do that.
So relocating with your new office, you mentioned a couple of new tools and equipment pieces that you guys are looking at getting into. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. So there, you know, I don't know if you know much about the biohacking world, but there's a whole terminology called biohacking. And it basically is the idea that we can hack into the intelligence of our body. Fasting is actually the ultimate biohack. When you take food away, your body knows what to do, and it starts to go into this accelerated healing place. Well, we've now come up with some biohacking tools like hyperbaric oxygen chambers. What those are is those are where you would drive oxygen, you lay in a chamber and it compresses oxygen and drives it into the cells so that the cells can start to reoxygenate themselves. Right now, as we're breathing in oxygen, it doesn't necessarily, we're at max saturation of our cells. But when you compress oxygen, you can get more oxygen into the cells. So this is really helpful for concussions, dementia, Alzheimer's. It's helpful for people really stressed out that have very low heart rate variabilities. So, you know, a lot of my clientele are people who are wanting to slow the aging process down, or kids that have anxiety, kids that have concussions. I've got that Silicon Valley family where we're working with all members. So we've got that. We've got Juve Light. Do you know anything about the Juve Light?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so the Juve Light is red light therapy. So I'm finding a lot of people right now are just not getting out into the sun, which is such a simple thing to go do. But they're inside working all the time. And then when they're inside, they're getting exposed to fluorescent lighting. So red light therapy is known to repower up our mitochondria of our cells and bring back in a 10-minute session, you can get what hours in the sun would be like, but without the harmful rays.
Is it the same vitamin D transfer and things like that?
Yeah, no? Vitamin D, collagen on your face, testosterone, it helps with the thyroid. There's some really muscle power because wherever there's a lot of mitochondria, it can help. So eye health, you know, there's tons of mitochondria in the muscles. So people are using it for sports performance and recovery. It's pretty neat. And then we have an infrared sauna that it simulates like a fever. So when you sit in it, it burns, it heats the cells up from the inside out. Mm-hmm. So my whole clinic has now been built around the idea that your body is a miracle. It can heal itself. And we want to apply as many tools to it to help that healing process out.
Yeah, I love it.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love the, it's rare. It's becoming a little bit more popular, but this concept that the body, we need to get out of its way, you know, that it's designed to heal and help itself. I think it's hysterical and also just so accurate that as, you know, as the more advanced we've become with medicine, I think particularly in this century that we keep intervening. You know, and we survived as a species because we were able to kind of overcome a lot of things in a homeostasis state, you know, and in a proper state. And so I like that your a lot of your philosophy is built around, you know, this idea of getting the body to do what it naturally was built to do. And that return to health it feels like the goal of every time you describe particularly.
Yeah, and I think we've really, if you know what's the perfect example of that is antibiotics. Oh yeah. It looks like your screen froze for a moment.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
The perfect example of that. Okay. The perfect example of that is antibiotics. So here we were giving antibiotics for so many years, and now we've got a superbug problem. Antibiotics aren't working. So we need to find opioids. That's another perfect example. Mm-hmm. Here we were giving people pain relievers, and now we burned out their opioid receptor sites, and there's no drug on the planet that's going to help get these people out of pain.
Right.
So in my opinion, we've hit a tipping point where modern medicine has gone to such an extreme for so many people that we need to go back to the basics. And when you go back and you look at how the human body was built, it was built to heal itself. So, okay, if it's built to heal itself, but it lives in this stressful, toxic world, what can we do to give the body every tool accessible to heal itself in this environment? Mm-hmm. And that's everything I do online, YouTube, my clinic, it's all built around the intelligence of the body thriving in this toxic world.
Right. So let's climb a little bit more into that with the online community, the Resetter Tribe and Fast Training Week and things of that nature. It seems like you not only, you know, are utilizing your wisdom and all of your education, but you're also kind of mobilizing, you know, this encouraging group of people that motivate each other and you know, kind of communicate with one another. And you've done that online. So can you tell us about the Reset Academy or the Resetter Tribe and Fast Training Week and all of that?
Yeah. So again, everything like started out as people coming to me and going, can we do this? So my Resetter group was originally a place to put people after they read my book. And it was like, let's just have these conversations. Cause we got a lot of emails when the book came out. We had a lot of people reaching out to us. So I was like, okay, well, let's create a Facebook group. We'll call them the Resetters. I love the idea that you can reset your health. I think it's such a powerful thought. And that was where the Resetters started. Well, I then started to study fasting. And as I got into fasting, I was sharing the results that my patients were getting. And the Resetters started asking me, hey, well, can you do some group fast here in the group? And from that, it became, could you do a fast every month here in the group? And then from there, you know, once I went to YouTube and started educating people about fasting isn't as simple as just taking food away. When I started educating people about fasting, then all the people from YouTube came over. And, you know, before we know it, we've got 23,000 in there now. And we all fast together once a month. But I use it as a way to give people community support. I use it as a way for people to practice their fasting muscle. And it really is a way for me to educate people so that we can empower them to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So another major message is that you can be your best doctor. The best doctor on the planet may be you. And we have to stop giving our power away. And so the only way to get our power back is to start to understand some of these principles like fasting. And that's where the Resetter, and from that, the Resetter tribe, I mean, we were at like 3,000 a year ago, and we're now at 23,000. It's just exploded in the last year.
Yeah, I think the community and like you're saying, the idea that fasting is not just the removal of food. You know, there's so many different kinds of fast. And I appreciate that you kind of, you take a lot of time to enumerate those on different channels. So on your mm-hmm. YouTube, you know, you get into autophagy and some of these different, because there's so many different kinds of fasting.
So many.
You know, so many different lengths. And I think that even, I'm not sure, your fast training week, it seems like you guys play around with some of those.
We play around. Yeah. I always give people the idea, like you can water fast if you want. So I give them two options. You can water fast and I'll show you how to do that if you want to do a 3 to 5 day water fast, or I play around with different principles. So mm-hmm. like this week, where is it a fast training week? And we're talking about all the chemicals that get released in your body when you're fasting, and then these different eating styles. So
that's exciting. I like
that. Really
yeah. Fun. You can kind of feel it out.
People are thirsty. They want to know, like, you know, so a lot of people will reach out to me and say, I can't believe you give so much free information away. Mm. And my feeling is if I have the information, if I'm excited, I should be disseminating it. The doctor means to teach. Why don't we have more doctors that are teaching? And that's just the presence in which I go from.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think hoarding information is Stalinism at its finest. It's terrifying.
Well, you gotta pay me for the information.
Yeah.
I mean, we do in our academy, what we did is we said, okay, we then had to create a place where once YouTube and the Resetter group got so big, we were like, okay, there are people that were asking very detailed questions about their health. And so we created the academy where in a smaller environment, we could do small groups of people and help them, teach them to teach themselves to heal themselves. So that's where the academy is like, okay, now let's take the really motivated ones, the ones that are really needing more help, and let's keep it small. Let's keep it intimate. Let's help those people in a group environment.
Exciting. With your office, your brick and mortar, will it stay in the same area?
Yeah, we're moving two miles away. I built a clinic that's 1,000 more square feet than what I have now.
Wow.
I've gone from like 5 treatment rooms to 9. I'm able to bring in the things like the chamber. I want to bring in pulse wave. It's a PEMF machine that helps with mitochondria. So we've got some really cool pieces of biohacking equipment we'll be bringing in, but it's definitely bigger. And I can do a lot more there.
And you see clients from into older age all the way down to young children. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My oldest client is, several of them are in their 80s, and we have newborn babies. So we are dealing with the family as a whole. And then I do have individuals that come in. And some people come in and they just want to use the reset. We call it the reset room. All the biohacking equipment, they just want to use that. Some people are interested in the chiropractic. So there's a little bit for everybody.
Yeah. As a business owner, with that kind of change and growth and diversification, if I can kind of shift the focus for just a second from, you know, kind of the philosophy behind the medicine you practice and into now into the businesses, did you ever find yourself growing too quickly, or did it always have like a natural, gradual rise? I mean, the expansion in, you know, your online community going that quickly over 1 year can be
really
a little bit debilitating, you know, unless you have your wits about you. Can you speak to like the growth changes throughout the past, you know, 5 years and how you've kind of adjusted to that?
Yeah. You know, I'm definitely one of those women that just wants to do it all. I'm like, okay, give it all to me. I'll do it all. And I am starting to realize I can't do it all. So I've had to fill in with the proper staff. So, you know, how do I backfill with people that can really support me? So I've got a team of chiropractors that now help me. I have a virtual team that answers a lot of our questions online. So I've had that. I think the growth, the biggest part was that it took me hitting points where I'm like, I would go to bed at night and I'm like, I don't think I can do anymore. I can't answer any more questions. I can't help any more people. And then it was like, okay, no, we're on a mission to empower the world. So if we're on this mission, I've got to not be the block. And so we started to fill in and train people to help. And we now have my virtual team. We've got 1, 2, 3. We've actually got 5 people helping with the virtual world. Some of them are part-time, 2 of them are full-time. And then in my brick and mortar, same thing, about 5 employees that help with the reset room, the biohacking stuff, and the chiropractic. So I think the biggest shift has been filling in so that I'm not taking the brunt of everything.
Yeah. Okay. So you have waited until the need has kind of, you haven't kind of premeditated that out and then hired. It's been, we've got all this growth. We have to handle it now.
Right. Yeah.
I got you.
And there's been a lot of decisions where you're like, okay, well, do we just not respond to the people on YouTube? Is that the kind of YouTube channel we want?
Right.
And then my answer to that was like, no, I'm not about walking around talking about all my subscribers, but not nurturing my subscribers. So I felt like I wanted a platform there. Then Resetters got so big and it was like, okay, how can we support these people? And so we've just made really conscious decisions at every, like, what are we trying to do? And I think for me as a business owner, it's been really important that I don't get caught up into the like ego of the number, but that people are getting quality information. They're coming into quality experiences. And that was where I had to start hiring more people because I just didn't have enough hours in the day.
No. Yeah. I imagine with that kind of a growth and you know, with having that kind of a reach, when you have a company that has the 2 branches that you have, where the physical as well as the online, I mean, you have 2 areas of exponential growth that have their own kind of, you know, life cycle unto themselves. So looking forward now, knowing what you've known and with the expansion on the horizon, this is an exciting time. And it's always fun to ask people who are in the middle of a transition, what are your goals personally and business-wise for the next 3 years for both areas, both the brick and mortar and the online Resetter?
Yeah. So the goals are big. I look at where I get the most joy, and where I get the most joy is in educating people. So we're working in both the virtual and in my brick and mortar to get me onto bigger platforms. How can I get on? I love speaking. So how can I get onto some bigger stages? I love doing all my YouTube videos. They take hours to research those videos and bring in the current science and the best science. So we're working to free me up to be able to grow that station even bigger. I'd like to get it to 1 million subscribers. We are about to hit 100,000. The goal would be to get it to 1 million. I want to get on bigger stages. I just found out that I've been invited to go speak at the biggest chiropractic conference. It's called CalJam, and there's 3,000 people there, and I'm going to go talk about heavy metal detox. So that will be the biggest stage I've been on. So I love speaking. I've been asked by corporations here in Silicon Valley. Bank of America has asked me, wants to fly me to New York to talk to their employees. So I feel like where I excel is really in educating people. So the goals are all around, how do we reach more people? How do we get me on more platforms? Then my clinic, my brick and mortar, I really want to create a center where people can finally get answers. So whether you're going to fly in and hang out with us for a week and use all my biohacking equipment, or, you know, here in Silicon Valley, people are, the families are suffering. We have anxiety at the highest level it's ever been at in our teen environment. Kids are getting concussions left and right and given no answers. We've got the amount of pressure on these kids is enormous. So I want to create an environment where we can help the health of our youth, where we can help women that are going through perimenopause and menopause, and they're only being told they need to get on hormone replacement. Like, there's people suffering, and the goal of my clinic is to be able to help that suffering. So so that's kind of the vision of what we're trying to create. Yeah. My Academy members, we have 300 members in there now. I'd like to get it to 1,000, and then I'd cap it at that. So, you know, those are kind of the big dreams of what we're trying to create. I also, and this would be an interesting business discussion, I have an amazing team of people. And mm-hmm. I really want to create a work environment where they can create their own hours and they can create their own income. So, and they can do that by serving our mission and by building the brand. So I'm doing this with a few employees right now, where I'd love to shy away from the, here's your vacation time. And that it's more like, if you want to go on a vacation with your kids, you can, and this is what the business is going to need to support that. So that I have people that are involved in growing, but they also see that they have freedom. So I've been working on that business model as well.
Yeah, I think that's an exciting, I mean, it's a great, you know, you have a great example of something to do that in, you know, to be kind of remove me versus you mentality of employer and employee and kind of make it a collective family environment where it's all about the growth of the business.
Yeah.
So October and Patricia Kathleen podcast with female founders and entrepreneurs is very dedicated to women's health. And so I wanted to, before I let you go, and I know you're busy, but I kind of wanted to climb into recently, not recently, maybe in the past couple of months, I've watched several of your YouTube informational posts regarding, I have a difficulty finding a lot of people that are addressing female phases and stages of life. And I feel like this is on the verge of beginning to change. And I think that you're one of the first people that I've seen speak to it. But you speak, you have a lot to say about fasting and women's stages such as menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause. And I was wondering, what caused you to kind of look into that? If it, again, it was your patients and your clients coming in, or what the impetus for you kind of analyzing that? Because there's such little research done on something that affects over 50% of our population.
Yeah,
you know, and all these different stages. And I was hoping that you could kind of speak to that a little bit before I let you go.
Of course, yeah. So something interesting. I had a really cool conversation recently with Naomi Whittle. Do you know her? She wrote a book called Glow 15.
No.
And she geeks out on the science as well. And she asked me, she was saying that she thinks the biggest hurdle affecting women's health today is the fact that we don't have enough research on what women should be eating, what supplements women should be taking, what even what medications we should be taking according to our cycle. Mm-hmm. And this ties into answering your question, which is, I was doing keto and fasting for years, and then I ran a hormone test on myself, and my hormones were tanked. I had the hormones of a postmenopausal woman, but I hadn't transitioned through menopause yet. So I realized, I went back and I looked at the woman's cycle, and there are peaks where we have a peak of estrogen a couple of days before we ovulate, and then we have a peak of progesterone a week before we actually have our cycle. And in those two peaks, we shouldn't be fasting and we shouldn't be doing keto. And there are certain foods we can be eating, like progesterone building foods are like beans and squashes and food, potatoes. These are not foods that keto people eat. And I realized, like, it hit me like, holy cow, how come we've never been taught to eat for our cycle? Why?
Yeah.
Why have we never been taught that? And then, you know, you go through perimenopause and holy cow, you know, there's a lot of magic herbs out there, but nobody's going back to the basics and saying, here's what you can do to eat and to fast or not fast. These are tools you can do to have such a powerful impact on your hormones as you go through menopause, because those hormones are naturally going down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always laugh that I didn't appreciate my hormones so much until they started to go away. And then I was like, oh man, I loved estrogen. Estrogen really made my skin glow. And now that it's gone, like, sheesh, I wish I had appreciated it 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I just became my mission to teach women, like, you need to look at your cycle. You need to look at where you're at in your hormonal health. If you're going through the transition to menopause, there's strategies you can apply. And there's not always a magic drug or a magic supplement. A lot of times it's a lifestyle you need to create depending on where you are in your cycle. And I think
that's the dialogue that I found a drought or a straight up deficit in, because, you know, my mother's generation didn't even acknowledge menopause. They just suffered in horrible silence. And then, you know, then there was this slow trickle down of, you know, the first time I heard perimenopause, I was in my 20s. I mean, it's just, these were not terms being tossed around if they did exist in the medical industries. But no one ever, the first thing that people did was run to hormone replacement and drugs that, you know, were causing breast cancer inclines and, you know, ovarian issues and all sorts of things. And it seems daunting that nobody has quite addressed that, you know, we have foods, like you're saying, that are increasing progesterone and things like that. And with our cycles, like eating according to that, it seems like preparing for menopause or even looking at it through the lens of the diet, I just haven't heard a lot about it.
And we're lacking research on it too. So, you know, we need to pour some research into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I encourage everyone to get on and at least look at those YouTubes, especially for all of female and female identified audience members. It was eye-opening. And it was one of the first times that I felt like someone was actually speaking to, you know, some of these medical areas in a way that was anything other than like drug related.
Right.
So I want to wrap up today. I know you have to go, but I wanted to wrap up with, I'm wondering if a young woman or a female identified non-binary individual came up to you and said, listen, I just got done with, you know, getting my DC and I'm looking at taking over a practice and I'm thinking about starting some online thing as well. What would be your top three pieces of advice that you would give them right now?
That's good. The first thing I think that's, figure out what you're passionate about, because pick your passion and then scream that passion from the rooftops. People, like when I go on a video, you know, people don't want to watch boring people. They don't want to watch people that are kind of interested. They want to watch people that are very passionate about something. And we all have something that we're passionate about. So I find in the holistic world, we have so many tools to help so many things that we don't niche ourselves. We really keep like, well, I can help that, I can help that, I can help that. And you really wanna niche yourself. So whether it's you're excited about the gut microbiome, if you're excited about posture, whatever it is, niche it and scream it from the rooftops. And so that would be my first advice. The second thing is, and I don't know, I'm sure you've experienced this, there has never been a better time to be a female entrepreneur or an entrepreneur in general. Social media is so easy for us to get our message out there. But what you have to do if you want to succeed in the social media game is that you've got to be consistent with it. And so if you're consistent and you're bringing good quality, you can never think about what's in it for you. You always have to think about it, what's in it for other people. How can I empower? How can I educate? And if you're fired up about a topic, you go to social media with that heart space, the people will find you. And then my last one, and the one that my colleagues ask me all the time, is they're like, oh, I'm worried about what people will think of me. I'm worried about the comments I would get. I actually don't flip and care what people think about me. I am on a mission to change healthcare. And as long as I am breathing on this earth, I'm going to do everything within my power to change how people approach their health. And if you don't like the top I'm wearing, you don't like the way I phrase something, I'm sorry. I'm on a mission. I don't have time to sit and deal with your negativity. So you have to be willing to get arrows sent at you. And your mission and your desire and your why needs to be so big that you don't care what people say to you. And that those three things have built this mega online empire that is just like a train that can't seem to stop. It just is going bigger and bigger every week.
I love it. So what are you passionate about? Fight niche yourself so that you have you stand out in your community. Number two, it's never been a better time to be a woman, and make sure that you're using social media consistently to the best of your advantage. And number three, focus on your mission. The mission must trump your personal feelings.
I love it.
Perfect. I really I appreciate all of your time today. I know you're busy, and I'm so glad that you took the time to meet with us over Zoom and give us. I'm going to circle back around. I'm a persistent individual, and I will make you sit back down with us again and give us more of your awesome knowledge. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you for what you're doing. I mean, it really, again, the podcast world, there's never been a better time to get your message out. So
this absolutely. Is awesome. As long as I can keep getting women like you, I'm going to be set. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
And to everyone listening, thank you for giving me your time. And remember to always bet on yourself. Flunch it.